I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show, or TCS for short. The show is brought to you today by MTN Business. To learn about MTN Business, please visit mtnbusiness.co.za, and we thank them for partnering with Tech Central and this show. You can also subscribe to the Tech Central Show on YouTube at youtube.com/TechCentral, or simply search your favorite podcasting app for Tech Central, one word, and you'll find all of our shows available there. Now, we're talking about the scourge of broadcasting piracy next on the show. Our guest is Frikkie Jonker. Frikkie is anti-piracy director in broadcasting and cybersecurity at the MultiChoice Group-owned company Erdato. Frikkie, it's been a busy couple of weeks for you. MultiChoice, led by Erdato, has conducted a number of actions with law enforcement authorities to take down pirate streaming operations in Africa. And we're going to talk in some detail about that today, and also your role within the group. But I thought a good starting point would be maybe just to have a quick conversation about Erdato. What is Erdato? It's a MultiChoice-owned company, but what role does it fulfill within the MultiChoice stable?
Thank you very much, Duncan, and it's a pleasure being with you today as well. I'm always happy to talk about piracy and what we do about it. But to answer your question about Erdato, who's Erdato? As you rightfully pointed out, the new formerly company is called MultiChoice Group. And under MultiChoice Group, you would know companies like Mnet, and SuperSport and MultiChoice and those type of brands. So one brand as well is Erdato. So what Erdato is done is it's a company that's about 50 years old. So when Koos Becker started the company, he wanted to have control over the company that manages the encryption of content, because the fundamental pillar that you need to have a successful pay TV operation is that you need to be able to encrypt content in such a way that people can't steal your content. So you pay for the content is encrypted, you pay, and you actually decrypt the content and you can view it. So Erdato was then actually bought at that stage already. And actually, the 30 years plus that MultiChoice is there already, Erdato has always been there providing to MultiChoice encryption technology to encrypt its technology. But as time evolved, in the broadcasting environment, that encryption technology is also being provided to other broadcasting operations out there. Also in other areas, in the gaming industry, for example, there are various tools that we provide the gaming industry to protect, like anti-cheating and things like that, protect the integrity of a game when people are playing it. And then also in the connected video, in terms of where, a person, taking your car keys, for example, and people hacking that, opening up your car to secure that communication. Some applications on your Apple phone, we also play a role in that as well. And the latest venture is in connected video, for example, where we actually provide technology where you can actually rent, earth-moving equipment. And what happens is that you don't need a key. You just say the vehicle is there and a person goes and rents it, and that communication path is also secure. And then obviously the big area that we play a role in is where I am running that business for us on the continent, is to do with fighting the fight of broadcasting piracy. And that is my key role within the business.
Okay, well, let's talk about content piracy in some more detail. How big a problem is it in the African context?
I'm going to shock you by saying something to you right now in terms of that piracy is a huge problem on the African continent. But going and saying that to you, Duncan, I also want to say to you that laws on the African continent is sometimes also a bit outdated. Okay. But still saying that to you, what I just said to you right now, is that the support that we get from local enforcement agencies across the continent, from Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda. And as you probably know as well, for example, last week, we did a massive raid on a huge pirate operation in Cape Town, for example, with the Commercial Serious Crime Unit there. And then also with the Hawks, this past Monday in Joburg as well, raided another pirate streaming operation as well. So sometimes people would think that, the laws might be outdated. Yeah, it's going to stop us from doing our job. Not at all, Duncan. With all the types of piracy that's out there on the continent, with the laws that is available currently, we really do a lot of damage in terms of going after pirates. But maybe just to say to you, there are two types of piracy, Duncan, that is a concern for us. Not a concern, but that we're aware of and that we manage. The one piracy type that I just want to talk to you about is what we call generic piracy. That's, for example, Duncan, where a person will take a cable, a physical cable, and run it from houses to houses. Now, in Angola, for example, a cable pirate operation can be as big as 30,000 houses connected up with one cable operation, and they might have 20 decoders, and then they actually provide that illegally to people then and collect subscription. And in some cases, people sometimes think it's us doing it, and we say, no, it's not us. But those type of piracy, in terms of do we have technology to identify the accounts? Yes, definitely, and we actually take it down. But 99% of the times, we actually go in with the police, raid, arrest, and prosecute those people. Then there's the other type of piracy, what we refer to as broadcasting piracy. That is like a normal SABC tower that you will get, or a normal broadcasting tower that transmits, depending on the actual the size of the transmitter, in a radius, content. Very easy to pick up if somebody pirates us, go in, raid, arrest, and prosecute. And then we call it commercial piracy. That is where people are utilizing our content illegally in pubs, clubs, hotels, and compounds. Usually there, Duncan, because of the rights we get from rights holders, we can negotiate with a pub, a club, an hotel, and say there's a legal outlet, rather, you know, legalize your operation. And that we do very, very successful. Then there's also an issue called gray market piracy. Gray market piracy is, for example, where other pay TV operators' equipments will be bought in other geographical areas. For example, you know, from the Middle East or from Europe. And those decoders will be used illegally in our markets. There, from a competition's point of view, we work with them and we do the same issue. Raid, arrest, prosecute. And then the other one, that the last one is, we call cross-border piracy. That is, for example, where SABC decoders or OVHD decoders from OpenView will be sold illegally in neighboring countries. And we will work very, very closely, very successfully with OpenView TV to address that as well. But here's the issue now that, you know, I believe this whole conversation is going to be about an interview, is the issue pertaining internet streaming piracy. Duncan, that is a huge problem, not just for MultiChoice, but for all rights holders across the globe, from songwriters, from movie rights. Doesn't matter what person, if you have intellectual rights that you own, people will exploit it on the internet. And from an internet streaming piracy point of view, that is a huge challenge for us on the African continent. But I want to revert back what I said to you earlier on. Even though the laws are not all there yet to actually fight that fight of piracy with regards to streaming piracy, the current laws, we are still utilizing it effectively to actually arrest people and get prosecuted and even get convictions against people that actually engage in streaming piracy. And maybe I can just say one thing to you and then I'll give it back to you. So the issue just with regards to internet streaming piracy, how does it manifest itself and how does people actually utilize our content illegally, you know, on an internet streaming pirate operation? So I'm going to use a very simple example, if you don't mind. If this is a server is where you take content and you host it on there and you make it available, for example, let me just do this, sorry, and make it available, you know, to your customers or to your clients and say, go to my server and you pay a fee and you interact with that server. That's what pirates do. They go on there and they go around the world and they collect content from all over. And sometimes some of these people claim that you can get up to 2,000 to 2,500 channels on this server then. How do I subscribe to that? I pay these pirates a monthly fee. And for that monthly fee, they give me login credentials. And then those login credentials is almost like your subscription. You pay for a month, they activate you for a month. Then, for example, the other way that they do it as well from the actual streaming pirate operation is that through a dongle, like a Fire Stick, for example, you go and you actually download, you know, certain software and it's pirated software on this dongle. And then what happens is they activate that dongle like a MultiChoice decoder to be on for a certain period of time to view that content illegally. And that is where the challenge comes in terms of that it's not just our fight, but it's everybody's fight that content is being violated by streaming piracy at the end of the day, Duncan.
So this isn't just individuals we're talking about here who are ripping off your content. We're talking about criminal syndicates who are quite organized and actually running businesses here.
Duncan, it is international crime syndicates, and it's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt with investigations being done by enforcement agencies and security agencies in America and Europe that some of the proceeds that actually derives from the subscription has already been proven is also sponsoring terrorist acts as well. So the issue just here is that it is not just a person sitting at a university and saying, I'm bored now, let me see what I can do for an hour. It's organized crime. I mean, in the way that we've already infiltrated some of these groups, it is frightening in terms of to see who's really involved. And that's always the fear in terms of that sits within me, that it, and that same fear that I have, a subscriber might think, oh, you know what? It's just multi-choice. You know, I'm not going to pay them what I need to pay them. I'll just pay this little bit of money here. But what that person doesn't realize that once you entertain some of these devices, not some of them, all of them or any of them, you open up a Pandora's box, because once you actually allow them onto your platform, Duncan, they know everything about you. They can actually get to your personal data. They can get to your bank account details. They can know where you live. They can do your IP searches. They know everything about you. My question always to people is, for to pay less, but to be exposed in that manner, is it worth the while? And yeah, it's a challenge.
So it's hugely risky for end users to sign
huge
up with any
risk.
Of these services.
Huge risk.
But do these criminal syndicates put down server infrastructure on the ground in Africa, in South Africa, or is it typically you know, built in China and other markets around the world?
That's exactly what makes us so unique from Irdero point of view, is that we've got offices, you know, in a lot of geographical areas across the world, not just in South Africa. And that is where we have a very good working relationship. For example, Europol, Interpol, Homeland Security, CIA. We also work with entities within Canada as well, in Australia as well. So in terms of that is the situation with Africa. Pirates will not invest in Africa. They invest in areas where the technology is excellent, where the support from a technology point is excellent. It's cheap. It's affordable. And then what they do is, like with counterfeit goods, they take that and they push it down onto the African continent. So, for example, the person that we arrested the other day is just purely a person that is a main reseller of pirated content, you know, on this pirate app called Waka TV, and actually sell it to people. He gets money. That money gets passed on then to international syndicates. And obviously we know where these guys are operating from. And I'm not going to mention it here right now, but now we're working with international enforcement agencies in other jurisdictions and where we're going to go after them. And if we pick up more information there, so we will follow the pirates wherever they go, and we will take action and closing them down at the end of the day.
All right, you mentioned Waka TV, which was MultiChoice issued a statement just in the recent days about Waka TV and the law enforcement actions that have happened there. And of course, you've also mentioned the one that happened here in Gauteng. I know you probably can't go into all the detail around these operations and exactly the work that you've been doing with the police, but as far as you can you take us through the law enforcement actions that have taken place, the one in Cape Town and the one in Gauteng, what was involved, as far as you can share with us?
Fantastic, Duncan. I'll do this in a limited fashion as I can. So the situation just is that we have got a anti-piracy department. And what we do is that we have got, like any person, we've got people that inform us by saying to us, listen, there is a piracy situation. We've heard about this. Somebody has offered this to us. So with the episode that we did in Carte Blanche recently, somebody came to us and said, listen, you know, Waka TV. And we said, thank you very much. We are aware of them. But they said, but listen, I mean, you know, we know of this person in Cape Town. Then what we do with my team then that I have on the ground is, and they are all ex-police, all ex-military, narcotics, you know, hawks, secret services guys. That's the compilation of the team that I have, that I'm very blessed to have them. And then what we'll do is we'll take the intelligence and we will work on it. So we will do it as a normal investigation that will be done by the police. We go and find out where these guys are. We do actually purchases of accounts, and we actually put a whole dossier around that person. And usually when we open, and it's only, and it's all open source information. I just want to make it very clear to you, Duncan. So that's information that from an ethical point of view, that any person that wants to find out who Duncan is will find it from you on open source, you know, areas, open source intelligence. We put a whole dossier together and we then go to the police and we say, this is the situation we are facing right now. What they would usually then do is that either it's the Hawks, it's a serious commercial crime unit, or it's the normal detective units of the police, you know, in that specific area from a police station point of view. Then what happens is that they will verify our intelligence. And then once they've got that, they approach then the courts. The courts will issue then a search warrant, and a warrant of arrest, and you know, a confiscation warrant as well then. And what will happen is that they will then descend on that target that has been identified. What I can say to you as well is that not only do we do that from our investigation point of view, my apologies, just to step one step back as well, but to let you know that once people identify these type of, you know, pirate streaming operations, and I'm not going to go into details about this, but what I can say to you is we've got tools that we can deploy to say that this decoder number or this actually account number, you know, is related to Duncan. And then we actually take our investigation further and further. So with the information that we have and with the tools that we have, we can identify who actually purchased that account. And that's also the information we share with the police. So that the day that the police go to Duncan's home then, I mean, they would have done their own investigation, find out who you are, you know, have gone to the banks, have gone to the cell phone providers, gone to everybody, and they will come and they will collect everything that actually is infringing on that specific rights holder's right at that location. And in a nutshell, that's what happened with Wacker TV in terms of that. I mean, they were identified, they were investigated. The police actually looked at the case. They went to the prosecutor. The prosecutor looked at it and says, there's enough. You know, there's enough evidence in front of him to issue those warrants, and those warrants was then executed last week, you know, on the individual, and also another one then this past Monday as well.
Okay, and are those investigations ongoing? Are there likely to be more arrests?
They're ongoing. I mean, let's talk about the Cape Town one. I mean, the Cape Town one revealed, you know, to the police a trove of information. And I can say to you, Duncan, there are a lot of more arrests that's going to come out of that. Because, and that's the issue for us right now. I think in terms of that, we've tried to educate people. We've tried to tell people the dangers. But I think the time has come right now. Not I think, I mean, the time has come now where we're going to take this very seriously from a multi-choice group point of view. We are going to go after these guys. We are going to look in terms of even people using that content illegally, who they are, and if need to be, go after people viewing content illegally as well. And obviously I'll take direction from senior management, how they want to proceed on that. But right now, what was excellent about the raid in Cape Town, it identified people that are actually being sold to these accounts. It's identified people that actually, you know, resellers that were identified as well. So the police, and again, I mean, just as a matter of interest, just an hour before this meeting, I mean, I had a meeting, you know, via Zoom with the relevant police colonel and the investigating officer, the sergeant, in this matter. And I can tell you something, just after that meeting even, I mean, I am ecstatic because my vision and the company's vision in terms of protecting our rights when it comes to and fighting piracy from an internet stream piracy point of view, and seeing what the police are saying they're going to do as well going forward on this case, is that, yeah, I mean, I can only say, I know it's an old saying by saying, you know, watch the space. But I mean, really, Duncan, a lot of raids are pending and going to happen because of this one raid.
Interesting. Interesting. What about end user consumers who are engaging with these platforms like Wacker TV? Do you go after them as well? And if so, what potential punishments could they face?
You see, the thing is, at the end of the day, is if you just look at the Copyright Act of South Africa as it currently is right now, Duncan, if you use something that you actually didn't actually pay for, it's theft. You know, you're stealing from somebody. So if you use, I mean, if you get stopped today, Duncan, sorry to use you as a metaphor, Delta, but Duncan, if you get stopped today by the police and they say, you know, give us your details of your car, and they look and they say, hold on, this registration, I mean, this car has been reported as stolen. If you say to them, I didn't know, I mean, in law, in court, I mean, if you say, my lord, I didn't know that it was illegal. No, no, no. You should have found out that that car was a genuine car and it wasn't stolen. So the issue just, if somebody says, I didn't know it was illegal, it's not a defense, you know, in a criminal or civil litigation action. So that is where right now we are actually weighing all our options in terms of taking civil litigation actions for revenue loss against this individual in Cape Town, against the people that actually, that he employed to sell actually subscriptions to his server, to go after them, and also to look at the individuals that purchase from them as well, and to possibly go after them as well. But as I said previously, senior management will have to come back to me and say, Frikkie, have you got all the information? We're actually engaging, as I'm speaking to you right now, with our outside legal counsel as well. I'm busy talking to an advocate of the High Court, and say to him, this is all the evidence that we have to date. And then obviously take guidance from them as well, what exactly is going to happen. But in terms of that, I think the time has come where we've spoken enough now about, you know, don't do it, don't do it. And I think it's the time has come now where we need to act against the whole system in terms of the buyer, the supplier, the hosting organization, everybody we need to go after to say to people that, and at the end of the day, Duncan, it comes about, we want to protect people, because once people realize, you know, in terms of, you know, what they are doing and what they're exposing themselves to, that's what we want to try to prevent. We're trying to prevent customers out there, you know, from not being exposed to international crime syndicates, from your data being stolen. All of those things, we're trying to protect people from that at the end of the day, Duncan.
Do you think the punishments under the law are sufficient? Maybe in the, let's talk about the South African context. Do these guys go to jail for long enough when they're sentenced?
I'm so excited you asked me that question, because last year, I think it was November, December last year, MultiChoice signed a memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Justice. And that is going to be where we're going to now, as MultiChoice Group, going to actually work on so many different areas with the Department of Justice. For example, we've got a core group of people within MultiChoice Group that are excellent when it comes to laws. So we are actually now drafting already, and we've got it already together, by saying to the actual, you know, the Department of Justice, these are the laws that's governing the broadcasting industry. These are the loopholes and, you know, the insufficiencies that we are seeing that is lacking to really effectively combat piracy going forward. So currently, yes, there is actually, you know, jail terms, there is fines. But again, there in terms of that, can it be better? Yes, it can be better. But there are other issues in the law that needs to be changed as well. For example, the point of internet streaming piracy, where it is there under the Copyright Act, you can do something. But at the end of the day, there are other things that needs to be in there as well. For example, where we identify an IP address of an internet streaming pirate operation. If we can successfully have gone with the laws in South Africa that is not there now, and we could say to actually to an ISP, internet service provider, please, these IP addresses that we're providing to you right now supports streaming piracy. Please, could you block it on your actual domain, on your DNS server? Can you block it? If that was in there, we could have actually really blown even a bigger blow to piracy from a streaming piracy point of view had we had the support, you know, of the actual ISPs in South Africa. What we have done already, as we reached out to them, and what the ISP said to us, once there is a law, we will comply. But until such time, you know, our hands are cut off. And so again, there with the Department of Justice, I mean, we know we just had elections in South Africa right now. So once the new people have taken over and people have settled down, then we're going to go in terms of motivate them, you know, in terms of, and it was part of the actual memorandum of understanding in terms of, you know, make suggestions to amend current laws. And then the second thing is that we're also going to do, you know, for the Department of Justice is training, capacity building within the Department of Justice, within the police, so that when a police officer goes out to do a raid, he knows that this specific law governs me and mandates me to do 1, 2, 3. So we're going to start training police on all of these areas as well. We're going to start training the magistrates, not to tell them how to do their job, but just say the reason for this amendment and for this part of the law to fight piracy, this is what it's all about. So that when a police officer come to them and ask for a warrant, the person will say, oh yes, this is to do with streaming piracy. This is what the law says. Inspector, whatever the rank is, here's your order. Go and execute it for us.
So, Fricka, you mentioned the option of potentially having ISPs block the IP addresses of some of these pirate servers. Are there other technical solutions you could potentially look at here? And I'm guessing there's no suggestion here that OData's encryption has been compromised in any way by these pirates. They're finding other ways of rebroadcasting the stuff.
No, no. Fortunately, it hasn't been compromised in any way or form. It's almost like when you go to a store and you buy a CD, you know, of a song. I mean, you've paid for it, and you're supposed to take that CD and only play it in your car at home for your own consumption. But now what you do is that, and let me steer away from Duncan and say Fricky. So now what Fricky does is he's buying the CD. And then what Fricky does with the CD is he's going home and he bought himself a CD burner. And I go and I actually make hundreds of copies of this and I go and sell it. That's illegal. So the same thing happens with a multi-choice decoder or a DSTV stream online application. What happens is that the encryption is not being touched at all. But once the content comes out of your decoder, where you take that cable and it's supposed to be plugged into your TV screen, or you're supposed to use your content on your mobile phone for your own use, people then take that and then actually project that into areas where they're not supposed to. For example, a pirate will take that and take the content when they actually extract it after the encryption has happened, and they actually then utilize that on illegal platforms like streaming pirate operations, in cable operations, in rebroadcasting operations, and all of that. But again, as I mentioned previously, and I don't want to go too much in that, but I can say to you that we've got certain technologies that we deploy in terms of, you know, from Irdero, you know, on MultiChoices platform, where we can identify that account on that pirate operation comes from that account and it was bought at that stage, and we can switch off the account. We can do whatever we want with the account. We give it to the police. We further investigate. So technology, from a technology point of view, we've got certain tools that we deploy within Irdero to safeguard then the content of MultiChoice at the end of the day and identify perpetrators in these type of pirate operations.
Okay. Fricky, just lastly, I think half the problem is that many consumers see the piracy of content as a non-issue, that they, or at most, they perhaps see it as some sort of like misdemeanor rather than as, you know, you equated it with car theft. I think your average consumer out there perhaps doesn't view it as a serious crime. How do you change that attitude?
I always say to people in terms of that, I've got two daughters, and when we grew up, you know, when they grew up and stuff like that, they always used to say, "Dad, everybody at school has got the latest handbags, the latest shoes, the latest, you know, jewelry, and they buy it on the street corners and it is so, so cheap." And I always say to them, "Girls, it is piracy. It is counterfeit. And the issue just is that, you know, don't always flow with the stream. Turn around and flow upstream." So we need people that can actually turn around and start going against the stream. And again, there is that what we have done now with this raid now, for example, in Cape Town. If you have to understand the people and how they've been exposed by subscribing to this, what I said earlier on, it's almost like you're standing at your door of your house and you open it up and you actually advocate to international crime syndicates, you know, to say, "Come into my house. I'm opening my door to you." That's what people do when they engage in this. And by purely saying it's a cost issue, it's that issue, it's this issue, we've got a slogan that we use, that we created an ad, you know, that we played out a video clip where we say, "Piracy untells our story." And that's the other thing as well, is that if we don't stop this, I mean, we're not going to have something that we're going to tell our, you know, for generations in terms of, "This is who we are. This is our identity." That's what pirates do. They steal our identity, because if there's no money to invest in local content, in local sport, in local news, I mean, this is what these guys are actually stealing from us. They're stealing our identity from us. But just purely, as I said earlier on, just from you as a consumer of that, once you actually see that these guys are actually loading viruses on your system, they start stealing your money, you know, they're going to start thinking differently. And unfortunately, sometimes in life is that you make a decision and there are huge consequences. We actually had a meeting the other day with one of the leading banks in South Africa as well, where people are actually being defrauded so badly because of streaming piracy. And they ask us, "What can we do? Fricky, what can we do?" And what they also realize is that until somebody bumps its head, lose, like the one customer lost 50,000 rand just like that to a pirate that actually gained, offered him an IPTV operation, an app. And when he went in there, they stole all his money. So now, will that person do that again ever? No. But in terms of changing people's perceptions, this is where we want to do education like we're doing right now, warning people by saying, please, we've arrested this person. This is what has happened. And hopefully people will start changing the way they consume content and rather do it in a legal fashion.
Love your passion about the subject, Frikkie. Frikkie Jonker is anti-piracy director in broadcasting and cybersecurity at MultiChoice Group owned Erdato. Frikkie, fascinating conversation. I look forward to seeing more of these raids as they unfold and some of the actions that you're taking. And thank you so much for sharing these insights with the Tech Central audience today. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much. It was a huge honor. Appreciate it.